So, isn't it good to be back together again after quite a time out over Christmas and New Year, suffering all the non-benefits of lockdown and no family being around and turkey all being eaten by yourself and whoever's with you in your bubble. You're only allowed a bubble person. But hey, it's gone. 2020 is gone. That's the past. We want to look to the future and we want to be ready for what God's doing in 2021. And like Stephen said earlier, that's on my notes, that's 2021, but one would be turned into a W-O-N. This is a year for winners. It's a year for the church to arise and to win things for the glory of God. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the coming glory of God. It's just like, it's what I've been sensing. It's what I felt that this year is going to be about. It's going to be about the glory of God coming and also worship arising, that where we've been silenced, that we arise back out of where we've been, and that our worship individually rises to the Lord in our daily praise and worship of Him, and our prep times and our times with Him. We just declare that God is good all of the time. Mm-hmm. And that this year is going to be better than last year. It has to be. Things in the kingdom of God never stay the same. They're always shifting and moving forward because God's on the move. He said that His kingdom would expand all over the world, never cease, and it would be like the waters that cover the sea. Mm-hmm. Amen? Wow. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. You know, so we just wanted to actually be with you this morning. I think Sharon's going to go on Facebook here and check with some of you people that are actually on the Facebook Live. So we'll keep tabs of you. And if you've got prayer requests this morning, just text them in. Sharon will pick up on them. And we will look at those shortly. You know, this is a year where God is on the move.
Yeah.
Amen? He doesn't stand still. And in fact, we got to watch to see where He is and move there. Because otherwise, we get the chance of lagging behind, missing out on what's actually happening around us. And I don't want to do that. And I know you guys don't want to do that either. So we want to be up there of where God is. I mean, He said, if we're struggling to run with men, then what are we going to do when we have to run with horses? You know, so the work doesn't stop because we sit down on our laurels for a little bit. No, it's time to get off our laurels, get back up, get running again, get training. You know, work just doesn't happen by chance. You need to put your hand to the plow and plow the fields, go after the harvest, sow the seed, wait for it, and then get ready to harvest it. So God's moving. I want to be moving with Him. And so let's look at this year and what God is going to do. Amen? So 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is quite a popular chapter at the minute and has been. But I want to look specifically at verse 12. So if you've got your Bibles with you today and you want to look at the scripture, you want to follow along with me as we go, then open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. Now in there, this is what it says. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. So you remember in chapter 20, it's about the the actual three kingdoms, Mount Seir, Moab, and the Ammon were coming against the children of Israel, and they were fearful of us. And then they go on to say, nor do we know what to do. So in the midst of this throng of people coming, which was like, well, you could say it's impending doom. They weren't coming to actually give them presents. They were coming to wipe them out. So this was not a nice scenario to be in. And they're saying to the Lord, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You know, and that's the key to this year, that our eyes, no matter what we see around us, have to be focused on Father. What is He up to? What is He doing? And what is He calling and speaking over us? Because we are His children. We are the sons and daughters of a King. The King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is the Almighty, the glorious one, the ruler of all, the maker of everything, and the creator of this world. So we serve Him because our hearts said yes to to follow in Jesus, to follow in God, and to allow the Holy Spirit to come as his representative and dwell not just in us, but to dwell richly in us. There is an abundance when the Holy Spirit is in you and around you, because he is there to direct us into the truth and the words of life that God speaks over us. And Isaiah chapter 66, we're going to look quite a bit through some of the scriptures in Isaiah this morning. So have the book of Isaiah open and be ready to run through with what we're following here this morning. So you want to stay on track. I promise you at the end, we're getting to a point. We're getting to where we want to go to, because it's what I sense I've got to bring before you this morning. And so Isaiah 66 and verse 18. For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Mm-hmm. Now you remember Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 says that, and all, you know, my spirit be poured out on what? All flesh. So there's a day coming that the Lord has had in his calendar where he is coming upon the world to actually stir things up, and where the world has thought that it's one, that God's no longer valid, that he's no longer operating. Well, what a shock the world's going to get, because I sense that this is the year that the Lord's saying his glory is coming like never before to the nations of the world, and they're going to be gathered to him, and they're going to see his glory. And they're going to see his glory on us, the representatives, the church, the ecclesia, the ones that transform their community, because God is in us and God's power operates through us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So come on, folks, this is good news this morning. God is moving out. 2021 is a new day and a new deal for God. It's changing, it's shifting, and we're about to walk with him into a new operation of systems, a new, what do they call it, operandi, whatever that is, you know what I mean. But God's moving, we are moving with him, aren't we? Is that a yes? Did I see hands up? Yes, come on. And so turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 5. Now here it says, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Come on, all the way through scripture. I've picked a few scriptures this morning because I don't want to read like three quarters of the Bible. That would take us a lot longer than what we've got. But basically, I'm highlighting to emphasize the point to you that God is on the move this year. And he says here in 40 verse 5, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, and the mouth of the Lord, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know, so there's something that God's saying he's up to, and we want to see it, we want to be part of it, and we want to run with it. And so we want to just declare that God's coming to the nations of the world. He is going to reveal himself like never before, because what has he promised? He has promised that he is returning for a pure and a spotless bride. And so we've got a lot of changing, we've got a lot of adapting, and we've got a lot of humbling and coming into alignment with the word of God as believers, you know, because we haven't got it right yet. And so God is coming with that operation to actually change and shift and move us to where he desires us to be. Now, he's not coming with a big rod to beat us in there, but he's coming with love that will woo our hearts and cause us to desire him more and desire to be where he is and to run with him in this next season. The other, you know, when I was thinking about this a few weeks ago, I just felt that the Lord reminded me of an old song. And it says, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. Now, a lot of you remember that song, but I heard it in a different way. I heard the Lord singing it, saying, and the glory of the Lord shall come and time shall be no more. How about that for a war cry? And the glory of the Lord shall come, and time shall be no more. Time, because it's his time. He oversees time, and we get to walk with him in his timings, his ways, and how he operates. So that excited me, because I think you know, the glory of the Lord shall come. The glory of the Lord shall come this year. 2021 is going to be a significant year, and change is coming. Isaiah 60 in verse 1. Turn there a wee minute just to see. Many of you know this scripture, but I think a lot of times we fail to actually read it enough so it actually sinks into our spirit, that we get it and we dwell on it, we meditate on it, and we draw out of it what the Lord is actually saying to us, his people. So listen to this. Arise, shine, for your light has come. What has come? Your light has come. It's not coming, it has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So the glory of the Lord is upon us. It's coming upon us. And I sense this year that there's going to be an increase of this. Some of us had occasions in the past where we've known the presence and the glory of the Lord to be around us, and it's been sweet. It's been amazing. It's transformed us, softened our hearts, and made us more looking towards the Father. But this has been like precursors for what is coming this year. And verse 2, for behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. I think we've been in a pretty dark place as the world over this past year, you know, and that's about to shift and change. But the Lord will rise upon who? He's going to rise upon you. He's going to rise upon me, and his glory will appear upon you. It's going to be seen on us, folks. What we carry will be seen on us. The people that don't know God yet are going to look at us as we walk down our streets in our supermarkets, and because the stirring and the glory of the Lord is coming, it's going to be upon us so heavy that people will see something and recognize that something is different about you, something is different about me, that something has changed, and God is on the move. God is going to attract the people to you because he is after their souls. They are his children. They just don't know him yet. You know, and somebody asked me one time a few years ago, and I was being a little bit flippant, but they said, so how big is your church? I said, well, we have about 5,000 odd people come to church. And they went, wow. I said, the only problem is they all just don't know it yet. So God's on the move. And verse 3, nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. So when this glory comes upon his bride, his church, it's going to be so bright, so attractive, that others are going to be drawn to us. Lift up your eyes around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations will come to you. Come on, folks. You know, I know I could do with some wealth. You guys could do with some wealth. But this is a promise in Scripture to you today that God is on the move. Things have shifted. Things have changed. And we need to see it and catch up with where God is. Amen? So Isaiah 53. You all know Isaiah 53. This is a chapter that actually speaks about the death, the pain that the Lord Jesus went through. But out of pain, out of darkness, comes good things. And turn with me to Isaiah 54. So Isaiah 54, shout for joy, O barren one. You have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate, one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. And then it goes on to say, you know, so we've had this dark season, you know, where there was death and pain and suffering that the Lord went through. But the very next chapter speaks about number two, enlarge, it says here, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your pace. God is calling us no longer to be the submissive little bride of a church hiding away and waiting to see what's coming. No, God's calling us to arise and to fulfill what he has already spoken in Scripture to us. We need to read the Scripture with new eyes. Let it soak and marinate in our spirit so we rise up to where God calls us to be, that you're a son, you're a daughter, you are royalty, that you have the Holy Spirit given to you to dwell in you as a gift from the Father. It's there to empower you. It's there to focus you and to bring you into alignment so your eyes gaze upon the Father. Come on, this is good news this morning. You know, so we got to enlarge the place of our tents and get ready to move when God's moving. He's not calling us to stand still. He's not calling us just to sit with what we've got and hope that that's enough. No, God, our God, is calling us, let the change come. Let the new come. Let it be birthed. Let the expansion happen, because God is calling out of where we are. We're going to cross the Red Sea and come out the other side victorious, ready to go into the land and take the land, because our God is with us. He is not weak. He has not missed the mark. In fact, he's been leading us and prompting us. Now is the year where we rise, where we come up out of the other side, and we walk with God in new ways, with new power, new authority, and we see the kingdom of God expanded. And it's like it says in Isaiah 60, people were going to be attracted to our light because of the glory of the Lord upon us. That's going to be noticed, not just by the nations, but it says by kings of nations. So this is, you know, to me, that's impacting the whole of the world. From the lowest to the highest are going to take note of this move when God comes. Psalm 2:8, ask of me and I will surely give you the nations for what? As your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You know, God's not saying, like, shrink back, stay still, and just hold on tight to what you've got and roll it out until Jesus returns and we're all safe. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, get your seed in the ground, plant it, and expect harvest. Go after it. He's not interested in you, like the one talent. Well, here you are, master. I give you back what you gave me. I buried it in the ground, and I just thought I'd keep it safe for you. No, he made no attempt to make a prospering for his owner, and out of that he lost out. You know, so God's not he's not calling us to hold tight to what he's given us. It's a gift given not just for you, but for others outside. It's a kingdom gift. It's meant to grow. It's meant to be watered, and the seed of faith in you has to grow. You cannot hold tight or keep it in a dark place hoping that it won't grow. Seed dies, seed births, life comes forth out of darkness, and it actually germinates, and it produces as the mustard seed, the biggest tree in the garden that can provide for the animals and everybody else that comes. Come on, that's who you are, folks. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Now get that in your spirit. No weapon, no COVID-19, anything that comes against you that the world is trying to bring into place is going to prosper over and above what God's plans, God's purposes are for us in this next season. It's his way. It's not the world's way. And we're going to run with what he's saying, where he's going, because that's our God. That's the one we follow. He's the one we keep our eyes on, and we go where he's going in Jesus' name. Isaiah 55. Let's take a look at that. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come on, he's giving you water today. He's made provision. There is a well that's deep. There is water of abundance, and all he's calling us to do is come drink. Come, quench your thirst. You know, fresh water. How many of you on a really hot summer's day, there's nothing to beat a really good big pint of cold water when it touches your throat? It's just amazing. God knows what he's up to. So why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? You need to seek in this season what satisfies you. If you're not satisfied with where you are, then you're not in the right place. And you need to find your way back to the center where God is and make him the focal point of your life and be satisfied and learn what it is to be satisfied with the presence and the glory of God as he permeates you, as he stirs you up, and as he wins your heart with his goodness. And listen carefully to me. Eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. You know, so God is here. So he's saying, come to me. Give me your ear. Let me speak to you. And so God's moving like never before. Verse 8, For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, many of us are probably saying amen to that right now, because you know, sometimes we just don't get the mark right. And so God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And verse 11, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Come on, folks. God's word created a whole world that we live in. His voice just called forth. His spirit that hovered over the sea, that same spirit is in us today. Mm-hmm. Come on, folks. This is exciting. We should be generated, excited, you know, getting up out of our seats, taking a run around the room and saying, come on, God, hallelujah, I'm with you. Show me your ways, Lord. Let's run together in this race. And so verse 12, for you will go out with what? What are you going to go out with? When the glory of the Lord comes upon you, everything else gets covered over, and as he releases a joy in you, a peace in you, because it's when you're focused on the Lord and you see only him and his ways, there is no fear in you. And so all that can rise in you is the joy of the Lord, which the Bible says is what? It's our strength. You know, so, man, this God's amazing. He's got everything planned right down to the very, very T. He crosses the T and he dots the I. He has missed nothing out. It's all there for us. And going on from that, you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Come on. We don't need the trees to clap their hands, but if God needs them to, he'll use them. You know, he has given us hands to clap. He's given us joy. He's given us peace. He has made and given everything at our fingertips and our hands to actually walk this next season out. Amen. Isaiah 62, starting at verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. Come on, God, don't keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness. Come on, we're the brightness. Arise, shine, for your light has come. We are the brightness of God, and her salvation like a torch that is burning. Come on, what's the scripture say about hiding not your torch under a bushel, that you don't hide it in the top of a hill? It's meant to be seen. We are going to be seen in this next season. It's like God's going to come, and anything that we've been trying to hide with, God's going to wipe it away, and the glory will come upon us, and others will be attracted to the glory of the Lord that's in us and around us. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your what? All kings your glory. Come on. And you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. Come on, folks, this is great. You will also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said of you that you're forsaken, nor your land will it any longer be called desolate, but you will be called, my delight is in her, the bride, my delight is in you. My delight is in you, says the Lord. And your land married, and for the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. God's making promises here that we need to get in our spirit and run with. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. Oh, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen all day and all night, will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Come on, God's on the move. I'm with him. Are you with him today? Isaiah 64. Verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. So God's coming. He's coming with authority. He's coming with an activation to his bride, who is us. We're his representatives. Now, if you turn, we're going to go to back to 2 Chronicles, but back to 2 Chronicles and chapter 7. I'm sorry, this is a lot of scripture, but it's scripture that you can take and you can sow into your spirit, and it causes stuff to arise in you that you never thought was possible, because there is truth, there is authority, and there is God's hand upon his word, and it won't return void. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. Now when Solomon had finished praying, come on, there's a key point. Praying, taking time to meditate on the scripture, to pray, to talk to God, and even fast, that we humble ourselves and we come before our God in a way that moves his heart towards us. And now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord, what? Filled the house. The glory is coming to fill your house, but not just your house. It's coming to fill you. It's coming for the purposes of God to be revealed upon you, in you, and through you in this next season. Amen. And verse 2, the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the house. Verse 3, all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, truly he is good, truly his loving kindness is everlasting. Come on, let those words ring out on your lips. You know, and then Isaiah chapter 6, let's take a quick look at Isaiah chapter 6. Many of you know this chapter, it's not long. It's only got 13 verses in it, but it's about the encounter that Isaiah had with the glory of the Lord. And verse 3, and one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's taking it now this year to another level of increase of the kingdom of God, and how he is going to use you and me to actually shine like we're meant to shine and cause nations to come to us, that we shine so brightly that we are attractive to others who will come and see and ask us, what is it about you? Why are you different? I see you. I've watched you for days, and there's something different about you. Who are you? They're going to ask, who are you? And you're going to be able to say, well, I am a son of the living God. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my friend. You see him in me and you desire what you see. Let me ask you today, will you say yes to this Jesus that I love, that you desire, because you've come and asked me that question? Come on, folks, this is good. So the actual verse there, the glory, is actually, it's kabal, and that stands for the glory of the Lord. And Roz will probably know this better than me, but kabal is the word that it refers to. It's that glory of the Lord, his heavy, weighty presence that turned up in Isaiah chapter 6 and turned the life of Isaiah around. Who am I, Lord? Send me, Lord. So when the presence of God comes and impacts you, when the glory comes around you, you become pliable in the hands of your God. Why? Because his presence, when you encounter it, changes you. It actually softens sometimes what we have allowed to become hard in our lives. But when his glory comes around us, then things shift, things change, and we become like the potter's wheel with the clay on it, that we become pliable in the hands of the Lord, how he shifts us, manipulates, not manipulates, but maneuvers us and recreates us into the vessel of honor that he desires you to be, so that you walk uprightly before your God, knowing that your sins are forgiven, that all your past is washed away, and he has changed you forever, and you desire to see change in others. Amen. So let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1. So we go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints. Verse 26. Do you get that? That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations. So this is something it's speaking about that has been hidden in generations and in the past, but has now been manifested to his saints. This is the season of the manifestations of God coming back up to the surface again, being seen, and the world will take note because they're going to be significant. And in verse 27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, folks. It's Christ in you. He's given the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. Christ in you, you carry hope. You carry the hope of glory. Let your rise shine. Let your light out. Don't hide it. And if you're shameful and you've gone and done things in your life that you know you shouldn't have done, well, then come back before the Lord today and say sorry. Submit yourself, humble yourself, get rid of your prideful ways and humble yourself back before the Lord and come out the other side, washed clean, pure, white, spotless, no shame, all shame gone, all fear gone. And the things that the enemy has tried to hook into you to hold you back, that they get broken off today in Jesus' name. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. He has given you a gift to carry for him, the hope for others, that the glory of the Lord will impact them and change their lives forever. Now, there's some declarations, just as we bring this to a close today, that I think you should take note of and actually make them a priority. Type them out. Put them on your fridge. Get up in the morning and just nail them. Shout them out. Declare them. And I'm talking about sometimes you got to stir yourself up. You got to stir up the spirit that's within you. They're just being nice, just saying, well, Jesus is here. He's coming. No, there's sometimes that the Spirit of God will come upon you and you need to encourage the Spirit to arise within you. And sometimes we need to raise our voices to a point where we actually make declarations of truth over our lives that actually wins our spirit to be in line with his spirit, and that we get strengthened and we get filled with the joy of the Lord and we get changed, transformed, and we come out the other side. So 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says there, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on, say that, folks. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know if you repeat something, it gets into your spirit and it actually will lodge itself there. And that's why I say declarations are good, but not declarations with a little whimpering voice. You got to take the authority and the presence of the Spirit that's on you and rise up into it. Call it out. Call the glory of the Lord to rise upon you like never before. God did not call me to die. He called me to live. Come on, say that one. God did not call me to die. He called me to live. God did not call me to die. He called me to live. God did not call me to die. He called me to live. When I was in hospital from the Tuesday before Christmas right through to Christmas Day, I wasn't well at all. And it turns out I had large clots in both my lungs, and they had actually surrounded the arteries going in and out of the heart. They told me I was a close shave to either a massive heart attack or a stroke, and that the enemy was out to take me out. But I remember a guy called Bill Lovick speaking about the time when he felt that the Lord was with him, and he made a declaration, said, God has not called me to die, God has called me to live. And he kept repeating it until it got into his spirit, and something changed, something shifted, something moved on him, and he rose up. And you know, a man that was given 2 weeks to live with an operation, up to 6 months because of the cancer that had eaten like 95% of his stomach and then stoma, he'd come back from the mission field to have a test done. The test gave him a diagnosis of death. And what did Bill do? He started repeating that over and over to himself, and he entered into a 40-day fast, water only. You got cancer riddled all through you, and you decide to go into a fast? Come on, that takes guts. But he knew his God, and he knew he wasn't finished on the mission field where he was at. And something stirred in his spirit, and he rose up, and he started declaring, God did not call me to die. God called me to live, because I know I haven't fulfilled what I felt the Lord has spoken over my life. And something shifted in his spirit because he declared the truth, and he started not looking at the problem. He said, God, I don't know how to fix this, but I said, I'm looking to you. My eyes are looking to you, God, because you are the author and the finisher of my faith. And so he turned his life around. God came, miraculously healed him, and he did several other trips into Africa after that, and some amazing stuff took place. So how do you want to live today? Do you want to live on fire? Do you want to live like you've never lived before? Or you want to settle with the complacency and the drudgery of how you felt life has been over this past number of years? No. You want to rise up into something new. You want a new day, a new deal. A new deal from God starts at the beginning of a year. And this is the time we're saying, take hold of what the Lord is saying, that he's coming with his glory. He's coming with the sole purpose to release his glory across the world, across your town, across your neighborhoods, and in you, so that you can use it to win others for him. And so Luke 18:27, it says there in the scripture, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Do you believe it? Do you believe that our God can shift, change, and take things to extreme levels because he has got a sole intention on reaching your neighbor? He has got a sole intention of reaching that person you've looked at and said, well, not much hope for them. They're so bitter and twisted and angry, and you don't even want to see them or meet them on the street. And yet God is reaching out. God is going to make a move that's going to impact the lives of men and women across our nations. And God is going to draw all men onto him because they are his creation. He is loved, and he loves them all. So he wants to see them not lost at all. Mark 9:23. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, how many of us don't believe as strongly today as what we have done in the past? And that needs to change. You've been given life into your spirit. You've been given a very life source that is, as it says, it's healing to your bones. Come on. The power of God is second to none. It's him in you. The workings out is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you know, you want to have Christ in you, the hope of glory. So another quick story as I finish. Years ago, when I was 17, 18, just left school, had been into my first job in a factory, and the factory went bust and pulled out of Northern Ireland, and I was left back without a job, not sure where I was going. And I seen this advert in the paper for a job as an electrician, and something stirred in me. And I read that then, that the Lord says, be still and know that I'm God. And I really felt the Lord was speaking to me and saying, you hold on to this. This is your job. And so I phoned and got an application form, went for the interview. The guy said, I'll let you know the next day. So that was like a Wednesday, and I was supposed to hear the Thursday. I heard nothing. I heard nothing right through to the following Monday. You know, over those few days, I was thinking, oh, my days, have I got this job? Was it right from God? Did I miss the mark, or was I hearing right? And so all this fear and stuff was coming at me, and I thought, God, I need to seek your face, because you said, be still and know that I'm God. So I went before the Lord, and I started to pray, and I started to inquire after him. And you know what happened? On the Monday, I got a phone call to say, you've got the job. Can you start tomorrow morning? But that was a hard season. Now, that was like the first trial point that I had. And I can look back and say that, okay, God, you tested me then. Would I stand true to what I sensed from you? Would I be faithful to what I felt your word was speaking to me? Or would I buckle and just say, well, it was all in my head. I never really sensed that from God. Now, I stood firm with what I had sensed and what I realized God was speaking, stayed true to it, and God came through, and I got the job. Come on, Jesus. He's real. He's, you know, so that was, I would class that as a small test. But all the way through my life, I've had other tests. So God increases you to stretch you, to get your faith to arise to the point where nothing is impossible for your God. And you get to the point where you believe that he's about to do things. Even though you can't see it, you know he's there. You know he's around you. You know you're surrounded and held tight by him and that he is on the move around your life. Amen. Now, at that time, I used to listen to an American preacher, probably a Word of Faith guy. I can't even remember his name now, but I used to have cassettes sent all the way from America by this guy, and we'd listen to them, get encouraged by them. But some of the songs they sang were old school, like way back in the 40s and 50s. But this one song impacted my life because of what? I started to sing it. I sang it once. Then I sang it again and again and again and again until the presence of God fell on me and I was deeply moved because I was declaring truth out of your mouth. Let it flow like rivers. I sang this song over and over until it got into my spirit. And then the shift happened and God came through. The words of the song are, I believe God, I believe God. Ask what you will and it shall be done. Trust and obey, believe it and say, I believe God. So simple, but it is truth from scripture. And when you sing it back to the Lord and you sing it and you encourage the Spirit of God in you and something shifts and something happens and your spirit rises up in you to actually cry out to the Lord and you sense the presence of God, your God, upon your life. That's why these declarations are so powerful. They're not just words. You are speaking to the Spirit of the living God in you, stirring up the spirit man to tell him to arise and to take ground for the King of Kings. You know, we cannot be complacent in this season. We cannot be shut down, hemmed in, or voices stop from being out there. We need to find ways where we can interact. Like Israel, the woman in the shopping store, she turned away and said, God, I'm here to do my shopping. Don't interrupt me. And then she felt God speak to her and said, I want you to speak to her. And she says, okay, God, I'll speak to her if she shows up on my face again. And the woman turned the corner and she was able to pray and minister to her. And look what fruit has come from that. You know, so we need to be ready every day. We need to be available every day for God. But how do you stir up your spirit? You spend time with the Father. You spend time in his presence. You sing to him. You declare declarations over your life. Take the scriptures and declare them to yourself. And I mean not just, oh, yeah, God is good and he loves me all the time. Now, how about God is good and he loves me all the time? You know, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So you actually, it's almost you raise up. You can't sit still and press into God. You got to move. Put action to your feet. Walk up and down through your lounge and actually speak the words of truth over you. Don't sit in your chair. Don't sit with your Bible, open your eyes, half sleepy and then falling asleep. Move, shift. This is a season of change and you want to get up out of your seats and shift and move with the Lord and actually bring his declarations out of your spirit and let them dwell in you richly, but let them flow out like a river, because when they flow out, you will realize that Isaiah 60 has happened to you. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Things have changed, things have shifted, and you will never be the same again. You got to pursue God. He is the lover of your soul, but sometimes he loves to be pursued by us. And so pursue after him. The benefits are amazing, and you will love them, and they will change your life forever. They change your spirit, and what has changed your spirit on the inside affects you on the outside. And that's why people will come to the glory that is coming this year upon you, upon the bride, upon the church worldwide. Jesus is on the move. You know, he's getting ready. He is stirring up the battle plans for his return. And we are part of that. We are meant to be workers. We're not meant to be slackers. We're not meant to sit back and say, well, others can do it. You know, let the evangelist do it. Let the speaker do it. No, God has called you. You're a royal priesthood. He's not called the evangelist as a royal priesthood. He's calling you. He's calling me. We are all in this together. And so the game plan of the Lord is that we work together, we build the kingdom, and we release the spirit of the living God through us everywhere we go. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So, Father, we just call you right now. Just lift your hands out. I don't think there's any point in speaking on this morning if we don't actually call the Lord God Almighty to come. So right now, where you are, should you be online, or are you part of this meeting here right now? Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come with your glory, Lord. Touch everyone that needs to be touched, Lord. Revive hearts that have gone cold. Put your spirit of life again within them, Lord, that it sparks and creates life, creates fire within their soul. Let your glory rise, Lord. Let your presence bring change that shifts us, moves us, and turns our eyes to focus on you and you alone. We take our eyes off the world, off the things that have snared us, held us back, made us fearful of stepping up for you. And we say, Lord, let 2021 be the year of breakthrough, be the year of increase, be the year where we get to walk out Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 60. That you rise upon us, that the nations come because of the glory of the Lord that covers the earth in us and through us. So just increase your presence, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Many of you are going to start feeling that peace that comes when the Father turns up. Many of you have even been praying and asking for forgiveness. The Lord's coming now and he's washing you white as snow. He's creating a new heart, clean hands and a pure heart. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He's making way for you because you have humbled yourself and asked him for forgiveness today. Don't put off today and think you'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Do it today. Make things right with God. Make him your savior. Make him your total focus in life. And allow that flow of the power of God to be released that he has blessed you with. Inside of you, the Spirit of the living God. He's called holy. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit, for your presence. Bless us today, Father, no matter where we are, what we're going to do next. Please, Lord, just encompass us, overwhelm us, with your beauty, with your love, with your presence, with this glory, Father. Let us see it, Lord. Let us be expectant of this year that it's going to be different, especially from last year. But Father, that most of all, we're asking you that we change this year because of you in and through our lives. Let us never be the same, Lord. Let us press in like the song, I believe God, I believe God. Ask what you will and it shall be done. Trust and obey, believe it and say, I believe God. Let that be your motto this year, that calls the Spirit of the living God to arise within you. Be ignited by the fire of God and burn for your Lord God Almighty like you've never done before. And let excitement of his presence surround you and draw your hearts, call you deeper into him, into the ways of the God that says that when his word goes forth, it doesn't return back to him without accomplishing that which he has sent it to accomplish. So take courage, folks. You're a part of the enactment and the walking out of the word of God that says, "Where his word's not going to return to him without doing what is done." And his word declares over you today that as a son and daughter, he is going to come and presence himself with you like never before. Your life will not be the same. When the fire of God comes upon you, you will be radically changed by a lover of your soul. So we bless you today, Lord, and we admire you, and we worship you, and we say your plans are amazing. You blow our little earthly minds because of how you weave through our lives and you bring out the best in us because of the living Spirit of God that dwells within. So we bless you today, Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.